This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
I'm going to give you a name, and he does not know that I'm going to give this name, but if I had a dollar to bet on this, I would bet that Jeff McGuire knows this name, okay? And her significance, okay? Jeff, do you know who Susan Backliney is? B-A-C-K-L-I-N-I-E.
You just lost a dollar.
Oh. You may be just a little too young for this. She is best known as the woman who died as the first shark victim in Jaws.
Oh, okay.
She was the one that was swimming, you know. She's on the beach, takes off all her clothes, and, you know, it's a morning. She's going to have a little brisk swim in the ocean, okay?
And there are people in this world that have that as walking around knowledge?
Yeah.
Like if you had said, do you know who the first girl to get eaten in Jaws is?
I don't know that they would have been able to give you her name. I just, because he's a well-rounded, knowledgeable kind of movie
Yeah, I agree with all of that.
That seems
pretty extreme to be able to. That would be a special movie buff to know that.
Yeah, no, I agree
with
that.
That's like a Jeopardy expert version of, you know. I'll take people who have been eaten by sharks in movies for $1,000.
Okay.
If you are a big fan of Jaws, I imagine you know her name. I enjoyed Jaws. I wouldn't consider myself a huge fan.
Too.
I thought Jaws was a great movie. It's not one that I watch on the regular. Now, if you want to run through a list of famous actors who have played stormtroopers in Star Wars movies, that's a different conversation. But that I could do. But if I had that level of interest in Jaws, I would have probably...
Are any of them like names that we would recognize?
Both Prince Philip, not Philip, Prince Harry and both the two princes have been stormtroopers. The guy who played James Bond was a stormtrooper.
Timothy Dalton?
No, the
Pierce Brosnan.
No, the most recent one.
Oh,
I'm drawing a blank on his name for some stupid reason now.
The princes did it,
huh? Yeah,
the princes did it just for fun.
Yeah, they were shooting in. I want to say they're shooting a scene in London, and they got wind of it and contacted the LucasArts guys and asked if they could be stormtroopers.
That's cool.
Yeah. There's like 30 or 40 like famous actors who have portrayed stormtroopers as non-credited actors just to be part of the franchise.
Okay. Well, you know, I think the thing that was so shocking about Jaws was, I mean, you guys aren't old enough to have seen it in the movie theater when it first came out.
No.
But it was, and this is obviously before social media, and so you go into the movie and you don't really know what to expect. I mean, there might have been some reviews out or things along those lines, but there weren't the spoiler things that, you know, you see today. But just that opening scene where she gets, you know, she's frolicking on the beach. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. And then all of a sudden she goes in the water and then you start hearing the bum, 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 bum. And then all of a sudden she screams and then she's eaten. That's it. And you're like, oh, wow. That was an interesting start.
Those screams were real, by the way.
Yes.
There was a diver underneath that was tugging on her feet, pulling her under the water.
That's correct. And they had like 300-pound weights on her that were at the bottom that kind of pulled her under. But the screams were indeed real. So anyway, she's dead at 77, died of a heart attack.
We just talked about it. She got eaten by a shark. We all watched it in living color.
Right. You would have thought the heart attack would have occurred in 1975, right? But anyway, the heart attack occurred on this past weekend. So at any rate, she was, like I said, 77. 6:36 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to DoubleT973.com for that. High school playoffs will be starting this week, and we'll have coverage of the big one I think they're all big. But this one will be really, really big. Monterey and Lubbock Cooper, they'll play over at Danlaw Field at Rip Griffin Park. Thursday at 7, Friday at 7, and if necessary, noon on Saturday.
I would bet Liberty and Idaloo think sure. theirs is big, too.
Sure. No, that's I said, acknowledge that anybody that's playing in the playoffs at this point,
it's big.
It's big, right. So we'll have the Lubbock Cooper and Monterey games for you, and then the Liberty and Idaloo games as well coming up for you. Those games will be at Friendship, okay? And game one is Friday night at 6. Game two is noon on Saturday, and game three would be 30 minutes after game two on Saturday, okay? And then Shallow Waters taking on Littlefield as well. Those games will be at Lubbock Cooper. They'll be Thursday and then Saturday at noon. And then game three would be 30 minutes after game two. Okay.
Would you guys like some good news?
Well, sure.
That was good news.
This is borderline great news.
Okay.
Video yesterday at the ballpark in Arlington. Jacob DeGrom is back throwing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody we may have heard of is doing the catching of it. Josh Jung also throwing back to Jacob DeGrom. This is a huge step for where Josh was because he couldn't do that like 2 weeks ago.
He's catching.
He's receiving the ball from Jacob DeGrom as he's throwing back and forth. But
no, they're just playing catch.
They're playing catch, but
it's not like he was crouched down.
No. He's just receiving the balls.
Okay.
But he is, in fact, launching them back. So, Josh getting close.
That's the good news because the Rangers
really could use him.
Could use all of those guys right now. Every single last one of them. It's been a bit of a problem. Speaking of the Rangers, Pepsi Man is on the move this morning. He is headed to Arlington. Arlington bound, going to go get the first replica ring from the Texas Rangers. Okay.
I think it's Corey Seager.
It is Corey Seager, right?
Yeah.
They're doing a Corey Seager jersey replica as well, like to the first 15,000. I think that's Sunday, but I'm not certain on that. It's coming up. It's this weekend, I believe.
August 21st is Josh's ring day.
Okay.
So mark that on your calendar if you can get there. Okay.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Day in sports history, here is Jeff McGuire.
Going to start us back in 1913 today, guys. Washington Senator Walter Johnson ends his Major League Baseball record scoreless streak of 56 innings. Mm. And a sign of things to come, 1938, England soccer beats Nazi Germany 6-3.
Foregone conclusion, right?
You know, 1967, New York Yankee Mickey Mantle hits career homer number 500 off of Baltimore Oriole and Kansas City, well, I guess it's Manhattan, bus driver, Stu Miller.
Stu.
See?
Chuck's buddy.
Stu.
Didn't know he was a major league pitcher, did you, Chuck?
Did not.
1972. In Willie Mays' first game as a New York Met, he homers and beats the San Francisco Giants 5-4, his former team of 20 years, at Shea Stadium in New York. 1977, Kansas City Royal Jim Colborn no-hits the Texas Rangers 6-0.
I think that was the first Royal no-hitter at Royal Stadium.
This day, 1994, Dave Winfield passes Frank Robinson for 12th on the RBI list, on the career RBI list, with 1,617.
Way to go, Big Dave.
And in 2022, the number 9 Texas Tech Red Raiders clinched its series against the number 3 Oklahoma State Cowboys with a 9-3 win. In the fifth, Owen Washburn provided the grand slam that helped tally a 7-run inning for the Red Raiders. The night before, Cole Stillwell launched a grand slam that was part of a 5-run fourth inning. Friday's slam flipped the lead. Saturday's broke a 1-1 tie. What both did was put Texas Tech in front for good in the visitors' ballpark.
Good times.
Happy Buttermilk Biscuit Day.
How much butter's in there?
Buttermilk?
Yeah.
I don't know the actual ratio.
Okay.
But
I just don't like a whole lot of butter in my
buttermilk. Well, it's cooked into the biscuit.
I know, Chuck. But I mean, I just don't like, sometimes the smell of the butter in the buttermilk I find disturbing.
Happy birthday, former Red Raider basketball head coach Mark Adams.
Smell the butter in the buttermilk.
Yeah, sometimes just.
I hate flavoring. When my biscuits have butter on them. They're just terrible when that happens.
The flavoring. Yeah.
Former Texas Tech basketball coach Mark Adams, 68 today. Mark Zuckerberg, 40. Rob Gronkowski, 35. Kate Blanchett, 55. Excuse me. George Lucas, 80. Clay Matthews, 38. Frank Gore, 41. Tony Perez, 82. And Dennis Martinez is 69.
El Presidente.
Tony Perez. Well, I didn't know he was still alive either. Big red machine.
And on this day in 1607, some 100 English colonists arrive along the east bank of the James River in Virginia to found Jamestown, the first permanent English settlement in North America. Dispatched from England by the London Company, the colonists had sailed across the Atlantic aboard the Susan, Contestant, Godspeed, and Discovery. And that is this day in sports history.
For your lucky local winning word here this morning, brought to you by Double T 97.3 and The Home Zone, making your house a home. We have this local contest going on. All you have to do is enter the lucky local winning word at DoubleT973.com and then wait patiently by your computer or your phone or your device. And at some point in time, maybe somebody could contact you because you are a local person that lives right here in the 806 area and, you know, travels up and down, you know, 50th Street on a daily basis, running yellow lights, trying to get from here to there. The thing that we're doing here is a local contest, not a national one. It's brought to you by Double T 97.3 and The Home Zone, making your house a home. We're giving away $250 at some point in time today, $2,500 on June the 20th. So make sure you put that on your calendar, and that'll be at Two Docks. But your lucky local winning word this morning at 6:50 is Seahawks. Seahawks, one word, as in Seattle Seahawks. We don't need Seattle. We just need Seahawks. S-E-A-H-A-W-K-S, the conventional way to spell Seahawks. Okay? It's all from Double T 97.3. And The Home Zone, making your house a home. Let's see here. A couple of thoughts in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Buttermilk is the byproduct of butter making. Most of what you buy now has no butter in it. There is no butter in buttermilk. It's actually an old term that refers to the process of making buttermilk, which is a byproduct of butter making. Today, most buttermilk is made using bacteria to achieve the same thing. Somebody else, zero butter in buttermilk. Somebody else, Chuck, there isn't any butter in buttermilk. Okay.
I'm going to go on a limb and say, I don't think there's any butter in buttermilk anymore, guys.
It's kind of like
the But coconut. You don't like the smell of the butter in buttermilk.
Yeah, I just don't like the smell of butter.
But there's no butter in it.
I know. Just when they say buttermilk biscuits, it just makes me, I don't know, I feel like that it's just like oozing of butter, and I just don't care for a whole lot of... There's really not hardly anything I put butter on. Corn on the cob, that'd be something I put spray butter on. That'd be about it. Toast, occasionally. Occasionally, but it's got to be melted. I don't like it. I don't like the chunks of butter looking at me. Okay? Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Now butter has eyes?
Does. By the way, I was correct. The Jim Colburn no-hitter on this day was the first in Royals history. The first no-hitter at Royal Stadium was thrown by Nolan Ryan as a member of the California Angels. Okay? There's a little trivia for you. Let's see, 6:52 this morning. Here on the Morning Drive, thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to DoubleT973.com. The Double T973 mobile app is presented by Happy State Bank. Okay. Well, the Rangers and the Guardians tonight on the air for you at 6:30. Balls and strikes at 7:05. Rangers lost last night 7-0. 4 in the 8th and 3 in the 9th. And the Rangers scoring none.
Wasted a pretty good pitching performance from Michael Lorenzen.
Yep. He sure did. He had a one hitter and said, well, I've done what I needed to do. Right?
Yeah. I think he probably felt okay. Handed it off to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Rangers hadn't scored any runs yet, so they didn't think it was in the bag or anything like that.
I was thinking, hey, maybe we can scratch out something. This from the H. I don't know what this means. Geez, Chuck is like a gremlin. I don't think that's a compliment. Was the person who invented butter named Butter?
Angry and vicious after you pour water on him?
Yeah.
Or feed him after midnight?
After midnight?
I have one supporter here. It's not the lucky lady, but I have a supporter here. This person says buttermilk is pure butter for what it's worth, so it makes sense about the smell. See? Thank you.
Well, somebody's got to be wrong. Right?
Probably me. I'm probably the one that's
okay,
wrong.
I mean, like 15 people said there's no butter in buttermilk, but this person says what? It's pure butter?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody's got to be wrong.
Can't we all just agree that some of us like buttermilk biscuits and move on?
Yeah, sure.
I'm fine with that.
Or pancakes. Sure. Big fan of buttermilk pancakes.
Okay. 6:54 this morning here on the Morning Drive. We'll discuss Big 12 win totals. Also have a Dak Prescott. We've got a little intel on Dak, or speculation, maybe more than anything else, on Dak and his contract. Especially after the Jared Goff big deal. We'll get to that this morning here on The Morning Drive.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Drive, good morning with Jamie Lint, Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us this morning. So the snowball that is the football season has started to roll because they've already sold out the women's clinic over at Texas Tech, which is cool. And now tickets are on sale for the quarterback sack event, which is part of the Ronald McDonald House charities. And so SAC stands for, you were right, Jimmy, it stands for something, supporting and comforting kids, okay? And so basically they're looking for fans to pledge a certain amount per sack or a one-time donation and the kickoff luncheon. I have never been to a luncheon or dinner at this place, and I think this is cool that they're doing it because I think they've got lots of space and plenty of parking because obviously the stadium is still a construction site and it's problematic getting in and getting out right now. They're doing some work on the west side facade. They were having some problems with some concrete breaking off and falling, which if it hits you on the head from 12, 13 stories up, that probably would cause more than a concussion. So they're fixing that.
Jones Stadium?
Uh-huh, on the west side. You see that fence that's around the stadium? There's only a couple places where you can enter, and there's on the ends. You can enter on the ends, and it's covered. It's protected so that if something falls, you don't get hit and hits the wood instead of your head, which is good. Because wood is more protective than your skull. But they're having some problems with some concrete at the very top. I think part of the formative stuff, kind of the cool little things breaking off and falling. So they're fixing that.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a little extra, little there. At any rate, so the quarterback sack event this year with Coach Joey McGuire will take place at the Museum of Texas Tech University. They got lots of parking over there, big open spaces. And if you've never been to the Museum of Texas Tech University, there's a sports section of it. I don't know if it's still up, but I mean, it was up last summer and didn't look like it was going anywhere, but it's really cool. A lot of Texas Tech kind of memorabilia and things like that they had on display at the time. So I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. So
neat.
Anyway, so that's that. All right. So Texas Tech win totals. I've got something along those lines for you. This is an updated. This is from Heartland College Sports. This is the article, and the sports book is Circa Sports. Okay, what would be in your mind a like good number for the Red Raiders to have right now in terms of what this particular sports book says would be a win total for the Red Raiders?
7, 8.
Eight is the number.
Okay.
Eight is the number. They have Utah at the highest win total at 9.5. Meanwhile, Willie Fritz and the Houston Cougars, he's their new coach, they were awarded the lowest season total at 4. That's not what they're looking for.
No, I wouldn't guess so.
I mean, they're... So it feels like Houston is going backwards. I don't think we're going to get any disagreement that everybody would be okay with that, right?
Yeah, not breaking my heart.
Yeah. They've got... I don't know if Willie Fritz is going to be the guy that's going to be able to turn it around. He was at Tulane, I believe. He's an older guy. Just kind of seems like they've kind of gone a little bit different than maybe what... You know, sometimes they've done there, you know, with a younger guy, more vibrant, you know, highfalutin offense, you know, things along those lines. So they're at 4.
Highfalutin offense. Not high-flying offense, but a highfalutin one. Yeah. They're uppity, are they? Yeah, they wear fancy uniforms.
Right. They got those powder blues now, you know. You know, can make you run faster in them with the white shoes, right?
Sweet.
Okay, all those things. They have Arizona State at 4.5, Baylor at 5, BYU at 4.5. Why do I just feel like, and I don't know enough about the BYU roster, it just seems like the BYU program, though, has been better than what I think people give it credit for.
Yeah, but, I mean, it didn't look great last year. They're going to be breaking in a new quarterback. I mean, I think there's reasons to not expect great things from them.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, the highest total was Utah at 9.5. Nobody's at 10. They have Oklahoma State at 7.5 and TCU at 7.5. Oklahoma State seems to be the one where you're either it's feast or famine. It seems like with them right now,
yep.
There's some that feel like 6 or 7. And then I'm of the opinion that they're going to contend for the Big 12 title and be at the 8, 9, or 10 range just because of everything that they have coming back.
I think they'll be in the top 5 of the conference. I don't know that I'm ready to say they'll compete for the title, but I think they'll be one of the better teams.
Okay. They have Kansas State at 9. I don't think anybody's going to have any disagreement with that, right?
Nope.
You know, and then they have... West Virginia at 6.5. I think that'll be closer to where they are, 6-6, 6-7 wins. Just because I think they're going to regress a little bit to the mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
maybe that wouldn't shock me.
That wouldn't shock me. Would it shock you if Arizona had less than 8 wins?
Yeah, I think I would be surprised. Yeah,
I think everybody's going to cite the new coach with that.
Yeah, I would guess they'll be an 8-win team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how about Baylor at 5? If Baylor's at 5, Dave Aranda's going to be looking for a defensive coordinator job somewhere.
Yeah, I think 5 is what I would about what I would expect. I wouldn't be, you know, just overly surprised to see him get to 6, but 5 seems to make sense for me.
Do you think his seat is the hottest?
Ooh. There's nobody that jumps out at me besides him.
Yeah, I mean, because Neil Brown's gotten an extension. Utah's guy's not going anywhere unless he decides to retire, and that's their concern. Gus Malzahn's not going anywhere. Joey McGuire's not going anywhere. Sonny Dykes isn't going anywhere. Matt Gundy's not going anywhere. Don't think that Chris Klieman's going anywhere. Lance Leipold is not going anywhere. Houston's got a new guy, Deion Sanders. He says he's not going to the NFL, which I think he'd have to have a tremendous amount of success for him to leave, be able to leave Colorado.
Sure.
And it doesn't look like that's going to go, that's going very well for him. Arizona's got a new guy. So I think maybe the BYU guy and Baylor, Dave Aranda, I think has got the hottest seat.
I would agree.
So if he has five wins, they'd be looking for somebody new. And
if Deion isn't coaching the Colorado Buffaloes next season, who is he coaching?
Are you talking 2024 or 2025?
Yeah, 2024, 2020, not this upcoming year, but the year after.
That'd be 2025.
Where do you think you'd be coaching if he's not at Colorado? I think there's one place.
Don't say it.
I think there's one place. He's just crazy enough to do it.
No, I think Bill Belichick is the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You think Deion would be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Jerry yeah. loves him some Flash. I'm not saying he'd be a good hire, but I could see that as a hire.
Did you see him?
No.
No, me neither.
I don't think either one of them are coaching the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Your boy Bill, man, you would love that.
I don't know if I would love that. I just think that that's what's going to happen. I think that's inevitable at some point in time. But his age is certainly a challenge for him.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Jamie's question of the day on Double T 97.3 is brought to you by Kinetico of West Texas.
All right, just moments ago, Charles Michael was rattling off a bunch of Big 12 football coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Just got me thinking.
Okay.
But I want you can go across the board in all sports in the Big 12 conference. Who's the coach that you dislike the most right now in the Big 12? I feel like we've lost some really hateable guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not as many that are guys that I just can't stand.
The first guy that pops into my head, just because he's been a real pill, is Vic Schaefer at Texas.
He's been a real pill.
But he's not in the Big 12 anymore.
That's
like,
true.
He's done.
That's true. We're not going to see him anymore.
That's an interesting saying.
Yeah. Gosh. Who do you love to hate? Yeah, because, I mean, you don't have Bob Huggins to kick around anymore.
Yeah, he was definitely one that was near the top of my list when he was here. Right?
You don't have Bruce Weber to...
I have no hate for Bruce Weber.
Okay, well, a Big 12 basketball guy, Jamie Dixon, would be one.
My thought was a lot of people would say him.
Jamie Dixon. I think a lot of people would say Bill Self. For so many different reasons. Jamie Dixon, because he seems to spend more time on the court than he does on the bench. And remember, he's the guy that really was the cause of an injury to Kevin McCullough back when he played for Texas Tech.
I don't think many head coaches sit on the bench.
No, but Jamie Dixon seems to spend an inordinate amount of time.
Now, are they on the sideline? That's a different deal. Yeah. But I'm saying I don't think most coaches are sitting. If we look over there and we see Grant McCaslin seated for most of the game, mm-hmm. we're probably asking for our money back.
What are we doing here? Yeah, right. Why aren't we?
It's a low blood pressure game. We've seen these before.
Yeah.
Tubby Smith did an entire game sitting back, kicking, hanging out with the coaches, just watching it play because you were going to win by 70. Josh Holliday. Jumps off the page. He's at the wrong school. Like, hating Oklahoma State makes him at the wrong school. It, you know, kind of like default. Everybody at Texas we hated. And the incident a couple of years ago, just whining and complaining and being a brat, for lack of a better definition, not a huge fan.
So Jamie Dixon was your answer, Chuck?
Jamie Dixon's my answer. And then I think for football, I don't necessarily dislike. I kind of envy him to a certain degree, but Mike Gundy kind of ruffles my skin a little bit just because of the success that they've had there. And he's kind of a wild man to a degree. Although I think if he's your coach, you love him. I think if he's not your coach, you're like, yeah, he's prickly.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of love for anything Oklahoma State, but I really don't have issues with Gundy. I mean, he's been outspoken at mm-hmm. times, and that he's kind of seemed like a bit of a crazy man. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that happens. I feel like he's done a good job. I feel like, okay, so compare him to the baseball coach, okay? I feel there's a extreme level of arrogance with that baseball program. For no good reason. I mean, they've had every great opportunity in the mm-hmm. world, and they have all the recruiting advantages and all the above, and they've not done much with it at all. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yet there's a high level of arrogance that surrounds that program. So football program, I feel like Gundy's earned his stripes.
Yeah, he has, no question. No question.
And to be opinionated and all mm-hmm. the above.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of like him to a degree, but I mean,
I wouldn't go that far, but I mean,
but I guess I just look at it and go,
I respect the crap out of him.
That's fair.
We've just kind of lost those hateable coaches.
Yeah. It doesn't make me sad at all. I mean, Self's a good answer just because there's a high level of mm-hmm. arrogance there again. Mm-hmm. Jamie Dixon, he does seem extremely whiny, so he would be on my list. Holiday is number one for me. I'm with Jeff. Holiday is number one for me. But, like, in football, I don't hate Dion. I think he's a bit of a buffoon at times. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I've gone so back and forth with Dion to completely rooting against him, and then about partway through last year, I started kind of pulling for them because I felt like, you know, he was making progress and they were just losing some close games. And so I kind of ended up kind of turning on it. And then the stuff that he said this offseason, and I mean, his big speech about academics matter and all that and put it on social media when clearly it was just for a show just annoys me. I mean, I just hate people who aren't just real,
mm-hmm.
and it's all a big show.
Yeah.
So Dion's up there for me, I guess. I don't know. I don't hate Dion. I don't have the respect for him that I do like a Mike Gundy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Utah. I think we're going to learn a lot about their program in the next year mm-hmm. that we don't know yet.
Yeah.
I don't know where those coaches may or may not fall on mm-hmm. this list. Like, there's a lot of arrogance with that university. I don't know that the coaches have it, but we're about to find out. I don't know that one of them could say something that sparks a lot of interest in hating them.
So is it good or is it bad that we don't have as many hateable coaches?
Well, I think it's bad because I think that's what sports is about. There's passion, you know, for your opponent. There's, you know, characters. I like characters. I don't like milk toast. Okay. Like, I don't like milk toast in general.
You got to sit next to me every day.
But I like you. I like
but
you.
But you've said I'm milk toast.
Well, sometimes you are a little milk toasty, but not really. No, no. You've got strong opinions. You've got strong core values and you've got things that you hold hard and fast to your heart. So and you're not afraid to share your opinions. And so I don't think you're milk toast. Somebody brings up David Pierce. What do you think about him?
Oh, yeah. No, of course, but he's going to be gone. So yeah. I was really referring to the new Big 12. But, he's dislikable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ruffles my skin. Things only Chuck Hines says for 200, Alex. Isn't that why you listen to this show? So that you can.
I think only old age ruffles your skin, right? Yeah. Or maybe if you're out in the sun too much.
Yeah.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Third period class here of the Morning Drive.
Okay. All right.
Kind of reset the deck here as we welcome those of you that haven't been with us since 6:02. I know, shocking. I know you kind of sit by the radio and, you know, spend the whole morning with us. Or maybe some do. You know, maybe some have the time to be able to do that. And some only get a scant few minutes with us. So then there becomes
snippet.
Snippet of what we do here on the Morning Drive. And then, you know, that's when things like Chuck hates milk toast and buttermilk biscuits comes in. And we need more whatnot, knickknacks, skosh, et cetera, along with ruffles my skin, right? All those kinds of stuff.
Skin ruffling.
Skin ruffling. You'll hear from Choice Woodman today.
That's exciting.
And somebody said earlier that Choice hates New Deal. I missed that yesterday. I don't know if he truly does or if that's just somebody joshing us this morning.
I don't know the answer to that. I did sit with him for 2 hours. There was no mention of his frustration with New Deal.
No frustrations there. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So maybe.
I just thought Choice hated officials.
Well, I think that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah. Officials and, you know, clean vehicles, maybe.
Is he not a fan of clean vehicles?
He seems to find himself in mud a lot. So
well, he's got a truck that's 10 feet tall. I mean, it's just, it's crazy when I stand next to that truck sometimes. I mean, it's like.
Don't exaggerate. It's only 9/11, Chuck.
You know what I heard this morning? And they didn't really get into it that much, but they were starting to. And I was like, finally, I could have some support. But they stopped short of it. Because then they got to how body fat is measured for NFL players. But Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and LeVar Arrington were discussing this morning on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe on Double T 97.3, a little after 5, about do they
measure... I have a question. Can I get a 30? Why were we talking about Choice and then you wanted to talk about a story that involved body fat? I'm confused how we transitioned there.
Because I was about to tell you that they got off the subject, which I thought they were going to expound on a little bit, and started talking about how body fat is measured for NFL players. It involves removing air from the body. So I'm not really sure how that all works. But anyway, the bottom line was there was a discussion about do they measure basketball players with their shoes on or their shoes off? And I thought they were going to expand on that a little bit more. And I thought, finally, I'm going to get some support here that basketball players should be measured with their shoes on as opposed to with their shoes off. It was close. They were right on the cusp of it.
Do you think we don't support you in that?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like... If they measured him in the shoes, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. I'm not like they have to measure them in their shoes, but if they started like that became the de facto what you're going to measure them with, go forth and conquer.
Yes, it's fine, but I mean, you're measuring the person. You're not measuring the person how tall they are in shoes. Everybody's on the same scale of... Because some shoes are thicker than others or whatever, so you measure people without shoes on. Mm-hmm. So, like, the brand, I mean, if you're wearing Hokas, I mean, you're going to be 2 inches taller than everybody else.
Well, and then that would help you with a rebounding, getting that extra
only
tip.
Only if you played in them. Like, yeah, that you have to
Hokas
play in
doesn't
them.
Make basketball shoes.
They don't make basketball shoes.
Not today, but you never know.
Okay, yeah. So, Gene Simmons would dominate in the post, okay?
Wouldn't that be something if he had his get up on and was out there playing basketball with his
football weight, players' weight should be listed as what they're wearing with their helmet and their pads and everything on?
Sure.
Because that's what they play in.
Right, sure.
You sure?
Makes perfect sense to me.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
To me.
A guy Yeah, that guy, that 300 pounder is really 350 because he has 50 pounds of equipment on.
No,
yeah, that's going to go over well.
Well, 350 pounds is landing on you when he tackles you. So, yeah, I'd kind of like to know what I'm going to get hit by.
Okay.
And we should also measure how fast we can run by how fast our car goes. Because, I mean, I'm in the car going that fast.
Well, now you're speaking irrationally. See, I've rubbed off on you, unfortunately for you. Okay, so I saw this and I wanted to get your take on it. Jamie Pollard, who is the athletics director at Iowa State, spoke to members of the Fourth Estate. And I don't know how this question came up, but he says this: if I was a member of the Big Ten or the SEC, I'd start looking over my shoulder and wondering, when is the day going to come when the top of the SEC is not going to want the bottom of the SEC? I think that's a fair question, right? He said, "Those with the gold will make the rules." Do you think that comes at some point in time, Jamie? Where the SEC may say to Vanderbilt, or the Big Ten may say to Indiana.
It's funny. It's always Vanderbilt.
Well, I know, but I mean, but that's fair, right?
Yeah, obviously, they're picking and choosing across the country. They're plucking off some of the best schools that they can get for their conference. And if you feel like there are schools that are in your conference that aren't holding up their end of the bargain, I guess it's possible. Or do they just say, hey, they're grandfathered in? Or do they say, hey, we all need some easy wins every once in a while?
Or do they say, or do the TV guys come back to them and say, you know, if you didn't have Vanderbilt and you had fill-in-the-blank school, I mean, it could be Texas Tech, for example. Hey, we want you to swap out Vanderbilt for Texas Tech, and as a result of that, we're going to pay you exponentially more money. And then Texas Tech gets a sliver of that, a bigger piece of the pie, of which Texas Tech would have to say, that's a business decision. Sounds to us like we need to be in the SEC if it all makes sense, and we can be more profitable in that league than in the current league that we're in.
So is the SEC going to pay Vanderbilt a ton of money to go away? Because it feels like that's what Vanderbilt would have to do if they were going to try to get out of the SEC, right?
Would think, right.
Hey, so the SEC is going to say, hey, here's $300 million. Go away, Vanderbilt.
Or find some kind of codicil in their contract that they violated.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.